Welcome to Millington Baptist Church. The message you are about to hear was delivered at Millington by Dr. Peter Pendell.
Well, I've had a chance to look at you this morning, and I've been looking around at people, and I've come to the conclusion that some of us ate more than we wanted to on last Thursday, and I'm sorry to see that, because now you got to do the corrective stuff, you know? I'm not taking names. I'm not writing any names down. I'm not saying anything to anybody individually, but I know. I can see it. I think I can hear you, too. I can hear some of you saying, I'll never do that again. And you, like I, said that before. God gives you the chance, you'll probably do it again. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope you did as well. Man, oh man, first time in years that our son Jonathan was home, and we had family in and kids and lots of noise and lots of confusion, but it really didn't matter. We just were together, and that's all that counted. And had more and more reason. In fact, I need to commend the idea of being a grandparent to all of you. If you have a chance, don't skip it. I mean, it will bring you to new dimensions of gratitude. It really will. Not too long ago, Amy and Drew were telling us that they bowed in prayer for their meal, and they had the kid, or had Austin's hands in their hands, and they're just the three of them. And they go ahead and they pray, and Drew prays, and he thanks God for the meal. And after he says amen, you hear this little voice saying, thank you. It just doesn't get any better than that. I mean, really. Thank you. Boy. To hear somebody say something of gratitude and to somehow get the feeling that they really mean it, that that's their heart. They're not saying it because they have to, not saying it because somebody expects them to, or even because God wants them to, but because in the inside of their heart, the reservoir there is full and it's bubbling over with gratitude. There's nothing like that. And there's certain things that make you think that somebody really means that. And I received a handwritten note the other day, and I said, wow, this is unusual. This is from a person who knows how to do email. You know what handwritten notes are, don't you? Know, with the pen and the paper and the... I don't write them too often either, but when you get one of those things, you say, oh, this is really different. This is cool. She really means this. In preparing for this morning, I got to thinking about a chance for you to have a moment to share, but there's a lot of people here, so we're going to have to be really brief. I know that, but can't help but think that we ought to have some time for people to stand up and say, thank you, Lord, or thank you, Joe, or Betty, or somebody in the midst of our service. But as I was thinking about what makes a thank you into something that we might call real gratitude. As you look at it, you can't judge people's hearts, I know that, but as you look at what people have to say, what is it that makes you say, oh yeah, that's real gratitude? That's not just the formal thank you that they were expected to give, but what makes it real gratitude? As I got to thinking about that, I couldn't help but think of several portions of Scripture where I see real gratitude coming through, even if it's not expressed. Even if the words thank you aren't included there, and that's the case with one of these, I just see gratitude written all over it, and it might be instructive to us as we think about Thanksgiving today and as we consider God's word. So turn with me to look at the one leper in Luke chapter 17, would you? If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to these because there's several passages that we'll look at and might be helpful to you as you think about real gratitude, as you want to get what's in your heart out on the table so that people can know that you're grateful for what you've done for them. And I suspect there's a lot of people around that you want to thank. The one leper story comes up in Luke chapter 17, and it runs from verse 11 through 19. One that you've heard of before, I know, sorry, but it just has such a ring of truth to it that I can't help but bring it back to us again. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praised God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to them, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. number of similarities that come up with these 10 people that you can see as well as I can. Let me just go through them quickly. They obviously all have leprosy. Now, leprosy is a large term for a lot of different rashes and diseases, but there is such a thing as leprosy. And because it was so feared in the midst of Israel and around the world today, even though there's some cure for it now or some stabilizing impact from medicine, it was a terrible affliction that meant not only loss of appendages and limbs. In fact, I've seen people whose hands are down to the knuckle right here. There are no more fingers left because leprosy has eaten away the skin and the bone, and it's apparently not eaten away as much as it's withdrawn into the hand. I've seen people who have a large white spot on their eye because leprosy has affected their eye. They can't see anymore through that eye. I mean, it's a horrendous picture of part of the body just kind of going away and disappearing. But as bad as that is, it's even worse when you think about leprosy and what it does to a person on the inside, because leprosy makes you an outcast. It makes you a pariah. In fact, lepers were commanded by the law to always call out, unclean, unclean, so that wherever they went, other people would be protected from them. They lived off in communities by themselves because nobody else wanted anything to do with them. And that's what these men have in common. They're all in the same boat. They have leprosy. Likewise, you'll notice they all cry out for help from Jesus. They all see him, and he's traveling through their town, through their area. And notice it's in between Samaria and Galilee, so kind of a no man's land, and he's passing through there, and every one of them cries out to him as a group. They're traveling from one place to another. They cry out to him, Jesus, and they want help from him. And then finally, obviously, they're all healed. In fact, it says that. It says, were not all 10 cleansed? Well, yeah, they were. Yeah, they were. So all of them, 10 of them, by the command of Jesus, maybe nothing to do with their own faith in response to him, but just by his command, they are healed. Well, there's differences as well, and you may have noticed those differences. One is that the hero is a Samaritan, and I take that to mean that the others are not Samaritans, though that's not specifically stated. Still, he's pointed out as a Samaritan, and your Bible history may tell you about Samaritans, that they lived up in that area that was repopulated after the people were taken to Assyria. They are not Jews, they're not Gentiles, they just don't fit. They're, in the worst of terms, they're half-breeds. They don't have any recognition from any group. They're not wanted by anybody. Oh, this man is a Samaritan. And the Jews would look down on the Samaritans like the dirt between their toes, and they'd look at him, they'd say, they're worth nothing, absolutely nothing. They're neither fish nor fowl. But he's the hero of all things. You might notice also that only one was saved. 10 were cleansed, one was healed. Now, how does that make sense? Well, apparently there's a difference in terms of what happened with the one who came back. He was sozo. And the word sozo in the Greek is a different word than the ones that meant healed in the first part. So 9 were healed physically, 1 was healed internally. That one is different than the others. The spiritual dimension is apparently added here. The key difference, obviously, is only one that returns for expression of gratitude. In fact, that's too common a way of saying it. He was doing high fives with everybody on the road, and with Jesus included, I suspect. I went to a ball game with a guy, and he took his glove. I'm not a baseball fan, so I didn't take a glove. I don't even have one. But wouldn't you know, we get up in the second tier, and a ball comes up there, and he catches it. And if you know Glenn Murphy, you know why, what he did next. He went around and he did high fives. Everybody in the stadium got a high five. Well, that's the picture here. In fact, it's a pretty neat picture, and the Message paraphrase takes that verse 15 and 16. Says, one of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough, and he was a Samaritan. He gave voice to his gratitude. It seems to be one of the keys to knowing that that's genuine gratitude, that that's real gratitude. That's not just a thank you that's muttered, that's expected. He gives voice to it, and you can see the way he gives voice to it. And I looked at that, and I said to myself, is there somebody for whom you fail to express gratitude? And you may be asking yourself the same thing, and if you're not asking yourself the same thing, you may be saying, well, she knows I'm grateful. Oh, really? If you didn't say it, how does she know that? Well, she just knows. No. He knows that I'm thankful. Is that so? If you don't say it, then how can it be seen as real gratitude? And part of the blessing goes to the other person that they've done something that's been helpful to you. Don't withhold that blessing. Express that gratitude to them as this man does. Unexpressed gratitude is like the fruit that's left under the tree on the ground from which it came. It is no good for anybody. It's fruit, to be sure, and it may be gratitude, to be sure, in the heart, but if it doesn't get expressed, then it's like the fruit that rots under the tree, and it does no good for anybody. So say it. Find some way to say it. Second example, the four lepers. 2 Kings, if you have your Bible, you look back there with me. In 2 Kings, you'll see a passage you may not look at very often, but you may remember it from some time in the past. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3 through 9. There's a city under siege here, so that's the setting as you come to this passage. And it says that there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. That's the city that's under siege. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say, we'll go into the city, the famine is there, and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die." At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. And when they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, "We're not doing right. This is a day of good news and we're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace." There's plenty in the midst of need. The city of Samaria is under siege. And you may know that cities in that day were like city-states, really. And a city-state would have its tall wall around it to protect the people on the inside, and they'd have one or two gates, and they'd be able to close the gates so that the armies would stay on the outside. And unless they had some way of getting over the wall, they couldn't come in. They couldn't get in. So now the wall is closed, and you've got these lepers who, obviously, as with the first account, are stuck. They don't have any family. They don't have anybody they can be with, and they're on the outside. But they apparently can go on to the inside. But if they go on the inside, there's nothing there because it's in the midst of a famine. And there's reports of cannibalism, in fact, in the midst of the famine. So they just think about it. They say, "Here we are here. We have nothing. We go in there. We have nothing. Only choice we've got is to go to the enemy's camps. And we'll go to the enemy's camps, and we'll beg from them. And we'll see if they'll be gentle with us, because if they give us food, then we get something. If they don't, then we don't get anything. We're going to die anyway, so what's the difference? We have no choice." Well, they go into the camp, and God has gone before them, obviously. Verse 5 through 7, you saw me read it. You heard that. They've heard these noises, and they hear the noises as of a great army. And there's no army there. But God causes the noises to come into the hearing of the people in the camp. And so they think, the king of Egypt is here with his troops, and the other kings are here with their troops, and we've got to get out of here. And so they run, and they leave everything behind. It makes me wonder at times why I work so hard to try to manage all the things in my life when I just need to sit and wait for God to do something. And I know I have to be active. I understand that. I asked you to contact our state representatives last week, and I know a lot of you did. We've got to take a step up, but there's some sense in which we need to just step back and say, "Lord, I can't do this. I can't control this. You're going to have to do this, or it's not going to have to happen." And so these guys leave because God's been there before them. In verse 9, you come to a real aha moment on the part of these four lepers. Before that, they've been getting everything they wanted. They take it and they go hide it. They're going back for another load of stuff, and then they're going to go hide that. Verse 9. And they said to each other, "We're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once report this to the royal palace." And so they go, and they report it. It's interesting. If you were to look at verse 12, you'd find that the king didn't believe him when they first reported it. The good news is too much. It took time for it to sink in until he finally says, okay. And he benefits, and so does people from it. But what really interests me in this passage is trying to determine when real gratitude emerges. And the question I can't help but answer is, were these men grateful before this time, before verse 9? And I'd say, yeah, they probably were. Sure, they were grateful. I mean, they get all this stuff. They're going to hide it. They're going to go get more. There's more there for them. Something happened. God apparently has caused the enemy to leave, and so they get what they need. But at what point do you see real gratitude emerge? And isn't that the point where they begin to share from what God has provided for them? Yeah. They go and speak of it, and they share it. And isn't that a picture of real gratitude? It is when I'm ready to take what God has provided for me and not just consume it and not just keep it, not just build it up in bigger piles for myself, but to take from what God has given me and share it with people. Isn't that an indication of real gratitude? When somebody shares with you, isn't that an indication of their gratitude because God has supplied for them? And that's the way it is with me too. And I don't know if the gratitude comes before the sharing or the sharing comes before the gratitude, but I know that when I get a chance to go up to Market Street or do something like that where we dish out the food once a month, and I get onto one of those two people who dish out food at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to both the people who are in program there but also the people who are underemployed or living on the streets, and they come in at a separate time and they're fed then. Man, oh man, I come away from that so grateful for what God has given me, you know, because I've seen what it's like for other people who don't have very much. I complained about the shoe I had until I saw a man who had no shoe. And then I began to be grateful for the shoe I had. And that's just the way it works. If you're not grateful, go find somebody who's really hurting and help them and invest in their lives and see if you don't come away and say, oh, wow, look at all God's given me. And if it's real, it will have that impact on you where you end up sharing what you have with other people. But that's a sign of real gratitude. Before you get a chance to talk, let me take you one more place. The man at his side, a grateful man, Luke chapter 23. Really, two men at his side. One of them is grateful. The scene is the crucifixion on Calvary, and you are probably familiar with this, but if you go back to Luke chapter 23, verse 39, you'll see that one man who is grateful, not the first one, but the second. There's a criminal on each side of Jesus. Verse 39 tells us that one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But look at verse 40. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. And we come to another man who's grateful. But what a contrast between the two criminals who are hanging there on either side of Jesus. And I mean, easy enough to say which one's grateful and which one's not. You can see that yourself. The one who's grateful must have been watching as the soldiers mocked Jesus. They must have seen the other. He must have seen the other criminal. He did speak to him about his insults to Jesus. He must have been watching as Jesus went through the awful agony of crucifixion, and the hurling of insults that took place against Jesus. Not only a physical damage that was taking place, but also in terms of his own heart, his own spirit. The Holy Spirit of God must have opened his eyes and allowed him to see, opened his ears and allowed him to hear, and to see what was going on between those two, and to observe Jesus and to say, this is the real deal. This is the one who God has given. And so he turns to Jesus and he says, Jesus, make me a part of your kingdom. Now, he doesn't say thank you, but it's bursting out all over him. And the response of Jesus is very much the same as it was to the one who came back and said, thank you, he is saved. And he'll be with Jesus when you and I get there. Only he will have had years and years and years, if years and years matter in heaven, I don't know that they do, but he will have had years and years and years to express his gratitude to God, a gratitude that started back here when he is beside Jesus. and expresses his gratitude to him. That's what one leper does. He speaks up. He expresses it. He lets people know about it. He verbalizes his gratitude. So do the four lepers. They speak up, and then they go a step further because they're able to. They share what God has given to them. And then you get this final man, this one leper, or this one man beside him. He places his trust in the Savior. Grateful that God has sent somebody to rescue him. Grateful that Jesus came and he has paid the price so that he might have life. And so he says it. He says it. And he places his trust in the one who came. I got to thinking about real gratitude the other day and trying in my mind to separate that from simply gratitude. You know the difference between gratitude and real gratitude? Real gratitude is real. You can write that down. It's okay. You don't have to put my name by it. Please don't put my name by that. Here's what I said it was. Real gratitude is an attitude that comes from seeing my own need with clarity and seeing God's provision with understanding. It is nearly impossible to be silent or stingy when real gratitude is present. Nearly impossible. God, fill us with real gratitude. Now, you're going to have a chance to come up to the mic that's here, or maybe Pastor Chad will take a mic and roam around a little bit with you, and there's a mic in the balcony. You're going to have a chance to do that. And I know that not everybody can do that, and please don't everybody do it. We won't have time for that. We'll miss lunch and everything else. But if you want to take a very small sliver of time, there'll be that. You can express your gratitude this morning before we leave this place. I think we have a few minutes. Oh, we've got 15 minutes before it's even noon. That's great. But in case you're thinking, I ought to, but I can't, I have a special clip for you that's going to show now to encourage you that you can say thank you.
I'm ready now.
Hi,
I'm thankful for food.
Spaghetti. Yes, I like the, well, sometimes they call them chickens. Probably cheesecake.
I said chewy. Orange juice. I think meat. I like to eat donuts. I'm thinking about it. I got it. I'm thankful for my family.
Mommy. Daddy, Meredith, and I'm thankful for my four siblings.
I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters. I'm thankful for my sisters. Right, Mama? And Jesus and God. That's all I can think of.
And by the way, my Aunt Kathy is actually my dad's sister. I'm thankful for my dog.
I'm thankful for puppies.
I'm thankful for when I go to the zoo.
I'm thankful for Winnie the Pooh. A lion.
Tigers.
They say
And monkeys.
I forgot. Daddy, say it. Gobble.
I did it.
Mommy, I'm potty.
Oh, yes.
Happy Thanksgiving!
Happy Thanksgiving!
Happy Thanksgiving! I'm done now.
You're done. Now, if they could do it, you could do it. Honestly, there's a microphone right here. You're welcome to come up there, or Chad will try to get that microphone around. But if you can come up here and you're willing to do that, love to have you do that. So you got to keep it short, though, because a lot of people here. So you got to keep it short. If I come over and I tap you on the shoulder, that means...
Yeah. Shut it down.
All right, who's going to be second?
Okay.
Christine,
Hi there. I have a real quick one for you. My nephew, who's not raised in a Christian home, yesterday was like wanting to read the Bible. He wanted a Bible of mine. He's like highlighting everything he reads. And I couldn't make him do that. So God put that in his heart.
God put that there. That's great. That's a great word. Who else wants to say something? Yeah, David wants to say something. Watch out for David. He's long.
David, get a mic up there.
Okay, yeah, here's this mic.
I want to thank God for Chad and his wife's beautiful voice.
Yeah, wow, that's well stated. Somebody's got the mic.
Oh, in the back, Maceo.
I want to thank God for Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to thank God for my family.
Thank God for my family. Thanks, Sam. Who else wants to say something? You're free to say something. Yeah. Yeah, Terry, you want to use this mic?
I want to thank the encouragement to me because I was one of the first recipients of a card. And the day that I received it from them, I was on my way to church. I hadn't been here in a while. And I almost turned around and went home because I feel, why even bother? Because I've been going through some stuff with a sick child. And I walked into the church, they handed me the card, and it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, Terry. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that's great. That's great. David?
I want to thank you guys. You guys make it easier for my wife and me to come here.
Oh, that's cool. Did you hear that? Makes it easy for him and his wife to come here. Yeah, and their kids. Yeah, that's so good to hear. Who's next? Okay, Bob?
I want to thank God for my wife.
Hold that up, if you would.
Excuse me. I want to thank God for my wife, even though the hardships, and I thank the Encouragement Fund because I have gotten a couple cards, and it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank God. Thanks, Bob. Yeah. Okay. Hi, Carol.
I want to thank the Lord for my family, for what each one of them means to me.
I think I heard you say, I want to thank God for my family. But I can't say it with the same voice, but I know what you said. Yeah. Dorothy? Oh, Dorothy Young's here. Yes. Oh, that's cool.
That's what I wanted to say. Thank you that I'm here today. I'm thankful that I'm here today, and I thank for everybody's support.
Absolutely. Injured in an auto accident about 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, and first time back. Thank God. Good to see you. Yeah. Hi, Gina.
Hi. I'm thankful I got to spend Thanksgiving with my mother. She took the bus down from Presque Isle, Maine with my sister. So this was our first Thanksgiving together in years.
Ah, thank God. That's cool. Yes. Hey, Kim. Kim McCarthy.
Hey, everybody. I hope I won't start crying, but it's been a really challenging year for me. And I first couldn't have gotten through the challenges without the Lord. He's been really good to me. But this church has been such a blessing to me, all of you. My heart and my love goes out to all of you. You've been so good to me through cards, hugs, words of encouragement, just an outpouring of love from every ministry in this church. So I just want to tell you all how much I really love all of you. You're a special place in my heart, and I thank you. Mm-hmm. My heart is full of joy and just overflows with thanksgiving for everyone. So thank you.
Good word, Kim. Thank you. Yeah, two very serious surgeries in the last year. And thank God Kim has been back for several weeks now. Yes. Who's that? Carol.
Yes. I'd like to thank God for spiritual growth, and I also for showing me this church. I had been searching for a church home for a while, and I want to dovetail what was just mentioned. I have grown so tremendously from the sermons and the Bible studies and the people here. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Carol. Oh, there's Fred Palma.
Gina and I just want to say thank you. I know I speak on her behalf when we too have been recipients from the Encouragement Fund. We had two terrible floods in our home and this summer, and it was just so encouraging to know how much people do care, and the cards and letters and prayers was just very thankful for that in Millington.
Neat to hear. Neat to hear. Yeah. Here's a guy from out of state.
I'd like to thank my God for a wonderful supportive mother who made many sacrifices during my rearing, and for being there and loving me so, and for my wife who supported me through 36 years in the Army and through 42 years of marriage and standing by my side.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God. Yeah. Yes, Celeste?
I want to thank...
Whoa, we can't hear you. No, that isn't enough. No, I can't do that.
I want to thank you, Pastor, for being so wonderful and kind and good to everyone. I want to thank the church for welcoming all the senior citizens, because we do need help when you first move to a strange place. Yeah. I was lost. I came in here and I was welcomed open arms. Thank you.
I'm so glad. So glad.
Celeste, did you thank God for a strange place? Somehow I missed that. We are strange beings.
Anybody else want to speak up? Somebody does. He's going someplace.
Back. Isabel.
Isabel. Isabel Price.
I'd like to thank God for the wonderful families that volunteer in the nursery, that love and keep our children safe so that we're able to be up here and praising the Lord.
Yeah. Thank you, Isabel. Yeah. Chris?
I'd like to thank my wonderful wife and family for their support.
Yeah. Jack Krause is up here.
Where?
Yeah, thank you.
I'm thankful for the grace of God.
Yes.
For his great mercies. Thank you for my wife, my daughter, and my son-in-law.
Yeah.
Came to visit this time.
Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah. Art Millett.
I'm just thankful to God for our church family and to him for giving each of us each of us.
I'm very thankful for the commitment our son Sam just made to get baptized a number of weeks ago, and for Mark Melillo and men like him and women who are part of this church.
We depend on each other. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, I don't know, Anna.
Oh, then I won't talk so loud. I'm very thankful for my salvation. I've been following Jesus more than 75 years, and he's never failed. Great is his faithfulness, and I too am thankful that I belong to this family of God, that Jesus led me to this church, and that he's given me a little part to do for himself. I don't want to take a back seat, but I want to be faithful to him until he comes.
Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, sir. Right over here.
We finally might be able to have health care for everyone in the country.
All right. Anybody else? I'm going to close the door. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm thankful for my mom and God that they've never left my side through all of the hardships I've been through this year.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, right up here. Oh, Craig.
Hey, Pastor. I'm thankful that we can still publicly thank God in a place like this, yeah, and that you're free still to preach the word of God and speak the truth to us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Craig. Lynette's over here. She knew you were way over there.
Thanks, Lynette.
She waited.
It's not like I
I'm thankful for my husband. Today is our 23rd wedding anniversary.
Wow. Yeah.
I work in the parking lot most.
And I'm thankful for our children.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks, Lynette.
Nice moment. In the front?
Deke is here.
These are new shoes that hurt me. You guys are killing me.
Wow. They'll be broken in.
We're thankful to have our son, Chris, back from Iraq, and we're thankful to all of you for praying for him.
Somebody's over there.
Of course.
Somebody. Oh, Larry.
I'm thankful that Chad's in good shape. I just want to thank God for giving me life, letting me see his creation, and having the patience to endure watching me stumble around as I try to get things right.
Yeah, he's a patient God, isn't he? He really is a patient God, long-suffering. Margaret? Margaret, right here.
Sometimes we're reluctant because we serve on staff, so mm-hmm. we think that you hear from us enough. Mm-hmm. But I'm thankful for my son and how God's brought him through this past year, and my two daughters. Maddie just went back. She's on her way up to Plattsburgh. And for Trish, she's upstairs, and she puts up with a lot with a mom serving on staff at a church. So I think it's a tough role sometimes as a teenager, and I'm really proud of her.
Yeah.
But I also just want to thank Pastor and Chad and Heather and Jerry and Betty and Bill and
Rob,
all of you guys that we serve. You know, serve on staff, and I'm just grateful for you, and I'm sure you feel the same way. And
absolutely.
We don't say that often enough.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, good
just,
word.
Thank
good
you
word.
For being great peers.
Good word.
Emily.
I was going to be thankful for Jess, but she just left, but I guess I'll say it anyway. She's work. So I'm thankful for... I'm going to start crying. We've been friends a really long time, and she's been through, like, everything with me. And going away to school, I was really afraid that our friendship would deteriorate, and it hasn't. And it's really, like, a comfort to know that, like, no matter what, she's there.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Nothing like friends, except family. Nice if family is a friend, too. Hey,
I'd like to thank Chris and Jen Dowden because in September they gave me a beautiful little dog. And I know this is silly. I shouldn't even be thanking them for this. But now I do because my dog that was 11 and a half years old passed away last Sunday. So Toby has just eased the pain. And I know it sounds so like trivial and stupid, but I just love them for thinking of me. And then Bill and I to give us that sweet, most of the time, dog.
Is it most of the time he's a dog or most of the time he's sweet? Okay.
Strange place.
I am grateful for the, I don't know how many people this represents, but a lot of people who do things that I could never do. Who have gifts and abilities that I wouldn't even begin to know where to start. And there's a visual of that right now for our kids' musical on Saturday. And it's all this behind me. I couldn't possibly do that. I wouldn't know where to start. I wouldn't start because I can't. But there are people who have different kinds of gifts at a family like Millington. And they're investing that time and that energy and that experience and training in ways that fill us out as a family, so that the arm is working, and so is the finger, and so is the kidney, and so is the eye, and so is the ear, and you know, and so are the toes. And that's what happens when the body functions the way it's supposed to. God gets glory, and great things happen, and we get to be there and see them happen. And I'm just grateful for the years of being here and seeing them happen, because God's people have stepped up to the plate and used their gifts in the way that He's commanded to. So I say thank you to you for another great year in which God has worked and shaped me and shaped us and shaped you, and He's got more in mind in the future. So I'd like to pray for us and ask for God's blessing as we're dismissed. You're a gracious God, Lord. You're a Father who cares about His children. You care about the ones who have not yet recognized that You care about them, have not heard, or having heard, have not responded yet. So we pray, Lord, for our adopted brothers and sisters who are still out there, still thinking they've got a better path, and ask, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would work in their lives and draw them to Christ. And those of us who have already been drawn, Lord, we thank You, God, that You have chosen us and You've worked in our hearts and opened the eyes and the ears so that we could see and hear. Wouldn't have happened if You hadn't worked, Lord, so thank You. We pray for Your blessing as we leave this place, that the attitude of gratitude that we've expressed now might be real and ever deeper, and be expressed to those around us who may not have been here to hear us today. So work in Your way what is pleasing to You. Shape and mold us for Your glory. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.